The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
But I fell over every single hurdle. It wasn't until my coach came up to me afterwards and said, I'm so proud of you. You didn't quit. You ran your race.
Wow. Well,
and I looked at her and I said, I could have quit. And so this whole thing is birthed out of, if we don't know quitting is an option, we will persevere.
Yes.
Bianca Juarez-Olthoff knows personally that perseverance requires a deep sense of hope. Grit, don't quit. Next on Life Today.
Everybody, I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. Welcome to Life Today. Randy, we have a great guest today.
We do. She's been on before, and people loved her.
I've never met her before, but she is a firecracker.
Yeah.
I went online because I, you know, always do that when I'm prepping for a show and trying to get to know somebody, and I thought, I cannot wait to talk to this amazing girl that has a brand new book out, Grit, Don't Quit. And anybody with the title Grit, Don't Quit, you ought to lean in for a listen. We are here with Bianca Juarez Olthoff.
You know
did
what?
I did it? Did
you
I did
do
it?
So
did
good. You brought the Hispanic, you brought the German. It's like an homage to my whole name. I'm so proud of you.
There were so many accents there that I brought. I don't know
so
how I did it. Thank you
great.
So much. I like you so much. And when I'm done, I'm going to say, I love you. I know. So if I'm going to say right now, I like you so, so much. You have such a passion. Tell me also about this new book. It's not your first, is it?
No, it's not my first. This is my fourth book.
Fourth, okay.
And you know what? This really comes out of a lived experience. If I'm honest with you, I thought, wow, the Lord has graced me to live through a lot. But now I'm in a new season that requires a whole other level of grit and resilience. And so it's birthed out of a place of knowing, but it's also birthed out of a burden for people who might feel like they've taken a couple hits in life.
Yeah.
They feel maybe like they're on the mat of life, or maybe they want to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
Maybe they are, you know, committed to the things of God, but then they're asking themselves this question of like, when will the pain stop?
Right.
I believe God, I believe his promises, but like, when is this going to end? It just feels like there's this spirit of resignation. Mm-hmm. Like people are just wanting to phone it in and call it quits. And this came out of, my husband and I lead a church in Orange County, California.
Okay.
And we really saw a lot of people give up. And so this is a burden, this is a blessing, and this is really putting words to not just let's define resilience, let's define endurance or perseverance, but really how do we build grit?
And
it's very practical, and I really want people to walk away with the understanding of this is how I get back up when I feel knocked down.
I like to use the word grit. And we'll talk about that because it's a very colorful and descriptive thing.
It is.
But is this based strictly on the experiences of people you know, or have you been in places where you wanted to quit?
I have been in places that I have wanted to quit multiple times over. And I'm in even a season now where I have gone back and done multiple edits of the book, and I realize how much this was a blessing for me. Mm. This is not necessarily about my life in its entirety. I wanted to weave in scripture and story and science. And so using the life of Paul the Apostle, who I refer to as my Bible boyfriend. Everyone can have a Bible boo, and this man, I love him. And my husband is okay with it because I can have a crush on a dead guy, so we're fine. But Paul the Apostle really typified resilience and grit. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the man was stoned, he was accused, he was shipwrecked, he was swam up on a salty seashore in Malta. I mean, the man endured so much, and yet so much of our Christian theology, so much of the how-to of following Jesus was framed by this man's pen. And from his life and from his words, I really, really, really wanted to lay the theological foundation for how and why do we get back up.
When did you realize you were a girl of grit? I mean, tell me, like, when you talk about the challenges that you faced, what was your toughest challenge that made you rise up and say, I am not quitting. I have been made for something more than this right now. I'm going to fight through this.
Yeah.
I'm going to equip myself, and I'm going to get on the other side of this, and I want to tell other people how they can do it too.
That is an amazing question. I'm going to answer this. I'm also going to include that there might be someone out there that's like, well, I didn't endure some massive hardship. I didn't go through trauma.
That's right.
You know,
right.
I don't necessarily feel if I'm on down in the dumps, but the truth of the matter is that there is capital T trauma and lowercase t trauma. We all, whether it's the death of a dog or a death of a parent, whether it's addiction to pornography or a loved one who's facing addiction to drugs, we all are facing this primary, secondary, and tertiary trauma, trial, and tribulation. So I don't want anyone to listen and feel like, oh no, that's not for me.
Yeah.
It is. So let's be honest about some of the pain that we've endured and how do we bounce back after we've been knocked down. For me personally, I mean, I'm a daughter of immigrants. I'm a first generation American. I was illiterate. I couldn't read, write, or spell until the age of about 12. I was morbidly obese.
Wow.
Raised in the concrete jungle of East Los Angeles, California.
Wow.
And I think statisticians easily could have written me off in the category highest prone to failure.
Wow.
So there's that component.
Right.
By the grace of God, really, I made a big, the funny thing is you got to be careful with the promises you make God. I promised God when I was 10 years old, I said, if you give me words, because I couldn't read, I said, if you give me words, I will give you my voice. Mm-hmm. And here I am all these years later as a podcaster, a writer, a preacher, a pastor, a Bible teacher. And I'm so grateful that that resilience allowed me to be who I am today and what I'm doing today. But even just all through the course of high school, I mean, one of the stories I included in the book was I ran track. What possessed a 5'2 Mexican to run hurdles? I don't know, but my mom
things.
Said that we, Christians, we, as Christ followers, we can do all things in Christ. I don't think that's what Paul meant, Mom. Jumping over hurdles, I don't think that's what he was referring to, but thanks, Mom, for the theology tip. But I fell over every single hurdle. Hurdle number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So to answer your question, how did I realize I was a resilient girl? That was the impetus. I just didn't know it. It wasn't until my coach came up to me afterwards and said, I'm so proud of you. You didn't quit. You ran your race.
Wow.
Well, and I looked at her and I said, I could have quit. And so this whole thing is birthed out of, if we don't know quitting is an option, we will persevere.
Yes.
So I think that this is really just a manual and a how-to of like, what do we do when quitting's not an option? You know, you can't quit on your kid. You can't quit your job all the time, you know? So what do we do in those
moments?
And
staying down wasn't an option for you.
No,
obviously.
Honey. No.
If you fell off of every hurdle, 3, 4, and 5, you also got up because that wasn't an option either.
Yes.
So, like, something was already burst in you, some mentality of, like, I don't quit. I might get knocked down, but I don't stay down.
Yes.
I keep moving.
Yes.
So you strike me as someone who has a little bit of an inclination to be like, okay, fine, you knock me down, I'm gonna get back up just to show you, right? I mean, I know I'm that way a little bit.
Yeah.
But some people really struggle with wanting to even get back up.
Yeah.
Do you have any insight for the person who's been knocked down or who's fallen down on their own?
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, I know I'm supposed to get back up, and maybe you're gonna tell me how to get back up. Mm. I don't know if I wanna get back up.
Yeah.
Where would you get that motivation?
I empathize deeply with that person because at my core, I am that person.
Are you?
I think I read very resilient, but that has been rooted in an understanding of who God is, not a personality trait or even a discipline. Mm. So in this season of my life, I have to remind myself that this strength isn't my own. And there's a lot of books and psychological research and metrics on what is resilience and what is grit and how do we get back up. But really at the crux of it is Romans 10, what Paul writes, that the spirit that resurrected Jesus from the grave is alive in me and is alive in you and you.
Yes.
If that is the fire and the ember inside, I can't help but get back up, even in those moments where I just don't want to. So I empathize deeply. It's a decision.
That's important.
Choice.
That's important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we can't make that decision.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the language that I want people to hold on to. Just one more day. God grace me for one more day. It's one step in front of the other. In my strength, I can't do this, God. But in your strength, I can. And I'm depending on your strength, the strength of your spirit that you promised me, that you will never leave me, you'll never forsake me, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, that there is, I'm a royal diadem, that I am a chosen elect generation, as 1 Peter tells me, that you have called me and fashioned me for good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope, as Jeremiah 29:11 says. So sometimes it's not a characteristic or a personality trait, but it's a decision to say, I am going to get back up, because like Paul said, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who's called me. And that's what I really want people to hold on to. This is not an anthem of something that is easy for me. This is an anthem of which I claim every day for myself. Yeah.
Chapter 7, train your brain.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that. I love that. And the thought.
Can we geek out over some science?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I like data. I like geeking out. And I started studying neuroplasticity and how we can really retrain our brain. And negative thoughts and positive thoughts are like Velcro and Teflon. So a negative thought sticks like Velcro. It's easy to believe the negative. But you know what's really hard to believe? The truth and the positive. That's like Teflon.
Yeah.
So I could say a compliment. Tammy, you look stunning. Your blue eyes are crystal as the water in the ocean in California.
Thanks,
this green makes your skin just pop. And you could hear it.
Yes.
But because of the lies that you've believed for so many years, it won't stick. It'll slide right off like a fried egg off a Teflon
can. Yeah, or I could receive it for a moment, and you're right. I walk out of here and go,
You see yourself in the mirror, or you listen to a comment on a social media, or you see a supermodel in the magazine, and you will easily believe Velcro a negative thought rather than believing what is right and true.
Constantly. And again, we can choose to live in that, or how do we train our brain differently?
It is, our brain is like the horse and we are the jockey.
Okay.
The horse will go where the jockey tells it to go. Our brain will go where we tell our brain to go. Mm-hmm. Now, there's going to be someone out there that's like, is this, you know, what is this manifesting? No. It's actually a biblical, it's rooting God's truth in our hearts. I'm not going to tell you, Tammy, you're a supermodel. Tammy, you're amazing. Tammy, you're a millionaire. I'm going to tell you what the truth of God's word says.
That's right.
So I'm going to train my brain with the truth of God's word. And that's where transformation comes. People are talking so much about transformation right now. Transforming our waistline, transforming our academia, transforming our finances. But the truth is, the most powerful thing that you can do for yourself is train your brain.
You have a great story about a woman named Mia that really just puts a punctuation mark on that point. Would you tell us that story? I loved it.
So a couple years ago, I was working for an anti-human trafficking organization, global organization, loved it for a number of years, but I couldn't shake that I was supposed to go to prison. But there was something inside of me that I had this holy hunch, I had to go into prisons. While there, it was our third conference, and towards the end of the conference, I'm done preaching, and I even brought in a live worship team. Like, it was a blast, it was so much fun.
Wow.
Well, an inmate stands up, she's 6'1", like very strongly built, wearing her prison garb. And she comes over and she says, can I have the microphone? And you know what you do when a 6'1 inmate asks for a microphone? You say, absolutely, go ahead, yes. I didn't know what she was gonna say. I didn't know if she could sing. I didn't know anything. Well, she went on to freestyle rap over the room and it lit up the entire prison pod. I mean, the inmates are standing up, we are worshiping Jesus. And then she had this hook. It's like the medium phrase of this song. And she started with this phrase, it's just me and Jesus, pick it, it's just me and Jesus. And the whole prison pod, it erupted with like us singing this chorus.
Wow.
At the end of the day, no matter what people tell us, no matter what people say, no matter what we have, no matter what we don't have, it's just me and Jesus. And it was this beautiful raucous roar. We gave each other a hug and I thanked her for her ministry and I told her that she's a worshiper wherever she was. Well, the thing with prison ministry is that you don't know if you're ever gonna encounter that person ever again. Fast forward 3 years later, I was speaking at a conference here in Dallas, Texas. And there is 8,000 women in the arena. And I had just finished. There was a line of security and they were trying to usher me out when I hear this, Bianca, this scream coming from a person in the distance. I couldn't make out their face. They were wearing a lime green volunteer shirt. I knew they were volunteer because all the volunteers had lime green t-shirts. And I waved, I didn't know who it was, so I just waved. And I turned and was walking away. She said, Bianca. I turn around and I wave again. And it was the third time where she said, it's just me and Jesus.
You knew.
And I turned around and the security guard says, do you know who that is? I said, I absolutely know who that is. We ran into each other. We embraced. We hugged. Wow. And she said, it's just me and Jesus. Wow. The words that were imparted into our lives for that woman's conference have been my anchor. And that day, what started as a freestyle rap released so many of my friends in the prison pod. And I went to sign up. I've been following you online ever since. I've been out. And I went to sign up for this conference, but all the tickets were sold out. This conference sold out in an hour. So she said, I've got to find Pastor Bianca. So the only way that she can get in was from volunteering. And she prayed that she would have an opportunity to connect with me. Yeah. And as mm-hmm. God would serendipitously have it, she's in the back, and I hear, it's just me and Jesus. What a beautiful depiction uh-huh. of the truth of God's word, literally washing her mind anew, yeah. washing yeah. her mind clean, and giving her a song in her heart mm-hmm. that is hasn't left me till this day. So when I write these words, it's not just for the privileged or the pretty or the perfect or the polished. Mm. It's for those that are in poverty, whether that is emotional poverty, relational mm-hmm. poverty, financial poverty. Yes. We just feel like I could have the whole world, but my soul is not at peace because mm. I know that there's something more in me. And I just want to hover over that person like I hovered over Mia. And I said, grit, don't quit. It's just you and Jesus. So get back up and don't quit until you find the freedom that you've been searching for. For Mia, it was freedom on the outside. But for many of us, it's freedom to be who God, Jesus Christ, has called us to be.
Love it.
It's just me and Jesus. Wicca, 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 wicca.
Yes, girl, yes.
Is there ever a time when it's appropriate to quit or okay to quit?
You know what? That's a loaded question.
I think
she's got good answers
to
it.
Well, you know what?
Should we talk about it later?
We're almost out of time.
That's true. So maybe another
show? Let's hook
them. Let's do
another show.
Okay.
Because this is a good one.
Okay. It is a good one, and you're right.
It is a good one. Okay. But just to put a sort of cap on the conversation today,
yes.
And we'll save that for another program.
Okay.
It'll be good. You'll want to see that.
Yeah.
How much of not quitting and the grit is perspective?
Resilience is a choice. Grit is a decision. And whether people get the book or not, at my core, my publisher's gonna hate me saying this, but I'm gonna say at my core, if you hold on to these three things, these are three hallmarks of people who are resilient. Mm. And when we talk about resilient, people think like, well, does resilience equal success? Mm. Maybe not as the world defines. Because I don't think that people would look at right. Paul's living his last dying breath in a prison and find that successful in our modern day. Right. But his success was honoring the God call upon his life, and the success that we get to walk in the wake of, the path that he has paved of his resilience, that is success. Right. So here's three hallmarks of very gritty, resilient people. Perspective. And perspective is an honest evaluation of reality that's rooted in hope. So we could say, this situation stinks. Mm-hmm. This looks hopeless.
Yeah.
But my hope isn't in this situation. My hope is in God. In addition to having good perspective, gritty, resilient people, we have the ability to pivot on a dime. Mm. When all the walls of Jericho look like they're being erected in front of you, you find a way to go around the walls until they fall down.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's finally identifying the purpose in the midst of the pain. A lot of this work comes out of an amazing therapist that was in the Holocaust. And he realized that those that survived the Holocaust and went on to live lives that were thriving had an understanding of purpose. Mm-hmm. And so when we give people purpose and we walk in our purpose, it helps us understand the pain. It doesn't diminish the pain. It doesn't erase the pain. Right. But it allows us to deal with the pain so that the pain fosters something beautiful inside of us. And that pain could be the fodder to fire the purpose that God is calling us to.
So good. Okay. Your publisher will appreciate this. We would like to send this book to you if you request it when you participate in something that is really, really important to me, something very close to our heart.
Very important. When I think about Bianca talking about the pain, that there are a lot of people walking in pain mm-hmm. right now. We have been with many of them. We have seen many of them, and we want to be a hope. We want to be a light to them right now. Why don't you take a minute and watch this where you can also be hope and light.
The threat most often materializes out of the blue, targeting those who are innocent and unaware.
When I was भनेर धान काट्नु जानुभएको थियो अनि हो त्यतिखेर भनेर डायरी ब्यागमा मलाई थाहा भएन.
It appears friendly at first, but inevitably, its true colors are revealed.
दिन्छु राम्रो लाउँदिन्छु नभए त गइनस् भने तर म मारिदिन्छु भन्यो अनि अब त्यसो भन्दाखेरि होइन अब अरूलाई त के लाग्छ र होइन.
With one final maneuver, the trap is sprung, and human traffickers have snared yet another victim.
खाउन के पनि हुँदैन भन्यो अनि खाएँ अलिकति मात्रै याद भयो त्यहाँदेखि म हिँड्दै आएँ होइन अलिअलि याद छ त्यहाँनिर हिँड्दै आएँ त जब अलिकति रोड रोड जानदेखि आएपछि मलाई थाहा भएन.
Pooja was only 12 years old when this nightmare became her reality, linking her to countless others like her who are approached, drugged, threatened, and abducted before anyone even notices. Fortunately for Pooja, Rescue Life was ready. Our ministry partners at the border intercepted her captors and pulled her from their grasp before she was sold into slavery.
यहाँनिर आएको रहेछ मलाई थाहा नि भएन अनि होस् आएपछि म त हस्पिटलमा थिएँ बिहोस भएछु होइन तिम्रो दिदीहरू जस्तै हो भन्नुभयो. यतिखेर मलाई म्यामहरूले नबजाएको भए म कहाँ पुग्थेँ होला भन्ने.
You are safe. Everything's gonna be okay. You're safe. Those are some pretty powerful words for those children, probably right now at this exact moment, someplace in the world. I'm so grateful for this ministry, the team that is on the ground right now at those borders. They're reaching, they're rescuing, and we're restoring. That little girl asking, where would my life be? Where would their lives be? They want a better life. If we come together, we can offer them a better life, one life at a time. I know it seems enormous when you think of all the millions that are being trafficked right now, that are being abused. Let's think of that one girl right now. And to be able to look at her and say, you are safe because we are coming for you and we're gonna rescue you. We're gonna take you out of that place and we're gonna help show you a better life. You were made for something more than this and the enemy can't take from you one more thing from your life. We can come together. We know how. We know how to reach these girls. We know how to rescue them and we know how to restore them back to their original identity and who they are in Christ. Randy, we've been doing this a long time. They are there right now on the ground. They just need us to come together to make it possible for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit it because there's three aspects of this. One is to reach, and that is where we go in and we educate. We would rather prevent any kind of sex trafficking from ever happening. And so the reach goes in and speaks to that area.
Yes.
and educates people. It stops them at the border. Mm-hmm. It gets them where they're never in a position to be abused.
Yes.
But unfortunately, as you know,
yes,
there are many young women who are in an abusive situation. And that's where we go in and we rescue them. And sometimes it means kicking down doors, mm-hmm. literally.
Yes.
But spiritually, there are many to be kicked down. And the
yes.
third aspect is right out of Jeremiah, right? We want to give them a hope.
Yes, and
a future.
Amen.
And that's the restore. All of these efforts do cost money. We have people on the ground. We have facilities. We have materials that need to go out. And so we look at it and we say, okay, how many are we reaching with the overall budget? And that's how we come up with these numbers where you say, okay, it costs about $128 to reach, rescue, or restore a child. I mean, a child's not a commodity. We know this. This is what we're fighting against. But to put it in terms that we can relate to say, okay, how far can my dollar go? Well, actually, it can be doubled right now because mm-hmm. we have a matching gift, a $320,000 matching gift from some friends of the ministry have said, we'll match every dollar given, which means a gift of $64 today will help basically reach, rescue, restore one child. The more that we give,
yes,
the more that we can give.
That's right.
You know, the more you put in our hands, the more we can put into the field
yes.
to reach, rescue, and restore.
Yes.
So my prayer, Tammy, is that people would say, what can I do? What does God want me to do?
Yes.
Because I know that this is a mission directly from God.
It is.
This is a mission of heaven against hell.
Yes.
Here on earth.
Yes, it is.
And we're all a part of fighting it. So would you just take a moment and say, God, are you putting something on my heart to do? Mm-hmm. And it may seem small, it may seem big, but all obedience is big to God. Mm-hmm. Every life changed is big to heaven.
Yes.
So take a moment and pray. And then if God leads, go online mm-hmm. and make the best gift you can, the one He puts on your heart. Mm-hmm. That's the best gift you can.
Yeah.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Declare. This beautifully designed 31-day devotional reveals 31 names of God from Scripture and gives insight to the character, grace, and depth of God's love for you. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Gospels book set. This special edition collection of the four Gospels in the classic King James Version includes journaling space opposite each page of Scripture so you can reflect as you read, the perfect companion for your daily time with God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I have no doubt that God is up to something really special today. Listen, we want to send you this book, Grit, Don't Quit. I promise you it will be a blessing in your life. So make that call. Go online, and when you donate to the ministry today, we want to get this to you. Just make sure to request that, and we'll get that right out to you. Bianca Huertas. I was going to try to get it again. Oh, my goodness. I appreciate you so much. I love you.
Thank you.
What a gift
to be here with you and everyone that's watching online and live. We're just so grateful and honored to be here.
Thank you. And my last question for the next program.
Okay.
Is there ever a time to quit?
That's a great question. Can't wait to unpack it. We're going to unpack it together.
We'll do it. And if you miss any of the programs, you can always go to lifetoday.org. We'll see you again next time.
Pull yourself away from the devil. They ask for everything. Promise to set you free. You made a vow to your mother. And give your life to your father, the one who helped you see, won't leave you recklessly. Come to me.
Yes.
But it's in that wrestle and it's in that fight that the best things inside of us are produced.
Cultivating grit throughout every circumstance, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.